Well, if I were to ask you what the influence of this, the BlackBerry, what its influence has been on workplaces in the UK, I guess I get a mixture of responses from you. Now, some of you, you might be avid BlackBerry fans. You might tell me how with your BlackBerry now, no time is dead time. How you can sort of plow through that backlog of emails as you're waiting for the train to go home at the end of a day's work. Some of you might not be quite so complimentary about the BlackBerry. You might say that the BlackBerry has meant that people are now tied to their work far more, at home, on holiday, wherever. You might agree with Jonathan Friedland in The Guardian. He wrote a recent article. He said this. He said, "Your BlackBerry is bad for your soul. Switch it off." I know someone myself. He found himself checking his emails with his BlackBerry while sitting on the loo at home. And it was then he decided to tell his employer that he didn't want it. He handed it back and said, "No, I don't want the BlackBerry, thank you." So the jury's out. But either way, there's no denying that the BlackBerry has had a big influence on the workplace. Or how about the influence of this? How about the influence of Facebook? Apparently, 70% of UK employers, 70%, have now barred their workforce from using this social networking internet site. 70%. Personally, I went on Facebook a few months ago. I stayed on it for about 2 days. After all these emails came to me and people inviting me to be their friends, I didn't even know who they were. My antisocial nature got the better of me and I committed what I think they call Facebook suicide. But Facebook has had huge influence, hasn't it? Most Facebook users, they now spend a good deal of their working day updating their status, writing on people's walls, posting photos, poking people. I don't know what the point of virtual poking people is, but there you go. That's what people seem to do. I know what I call it, time-wasting. That's what it is, pure and simple. It is time-wasting, isn't it? But this lunchtime, I want us to focus not on the influence of BlackBerrys or the influence of Facebook at work, but I'd like us to focus on the influence of us, the influence of you and me in our workplaces. Because as Jesus continues his sermon, that is exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about how you and I, how we can be an influence for the good in the societies that we find ourselves in. And Jesus uses two pictures, doesn't he? Salt and light. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." He says, "You are the light of the world." But let's look at each of those in turn. Firstly, salt. Salt. What on earth is Jesus meaning saying that Christians are to be the salt of the earth? What does he mean? Well, have a look at verse 13 again. Verse 13. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." So it seems to be something about being distinct, doesn't it? Jesus says if salt loses its saltiness, it's a waste of time, presumably because then it's just like everything else around it. So Jesus is saying to be a positive influence, we, like salt, we need to be distinct. And our danger is one of conforming to our surroundings. So that we're no longer distinct, so that we're no longer any different from those we work with. A young police officer was taking his final exam and one of the questions went as follows. It said, "You are on patrol in outer London when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the footpath and there's an overturned van nearby. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of your divisional inspector, who is at present away in the USA. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, and you realize that he is a man wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, a man runs out of a nearby house, shouting that his wife is expecting a baby, and the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown into the adjacent canal by the explosion, and he cannot swim. Describe in a few words what you would do." I wonder what you would write. This is what the young police officer wrote in his exam. He wrote, "I'd take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd." And we can sympathize, can't we? That urge to be a part of the crowd, to not be distinct, it's a lot easier, isn't it? But Jesus is calling us who are Christians here this lunchtime, he's calling us to be as distinct as a uniformed police officer is in a crowd of civilians. Distinct, presumably, by living out those Beatitudes we looked at last week, if you were here. Living out those Beatitudes at the start of Matthew chapter 5, living them out in our attitudes, living them out in our actions. So isn't it the case? We will stand out in the crowd if we are meek and humble. If at work we see all our colleagues not as rivals to be put down and climbed over, but we see them as God's creation to be loved and served, whoever they are. Even those that are very much junior to us at work. Even those who are the cleaners cleaning the office. We see them as people to be loved and served. That'll make us stand out in the crowd. That will stand out in the crowd if we're seen to be more concerned about a colleague having peace with the God who made them than them having peace about whether their children get into their first choice secondary school. Now, God's interested in both of those things. We should be interested in both of those things. But certainly, having peace with God, it is far more important, far more critical than which school one's child goes to. But the danger is that we conform. The danger is we just mingle with the crowd. We're just like everyone else. And isn't it the case? It is far easier to just be like everyone else at work. It is far easier. In our attitudes, it's far easier just to be like everyone else. In our actions at work, it's far easier just to be like everyone else. It is so much easier. But Jesus is saying to us who are Christians, he's saying, no, you're the salt of the earth. Be distinct. Let's look at the second picture. You are the light of the world, says Jesus. Have a look at verse 14, if you would. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So this is not so much about being distinct as about being radiant, shining brightly for our Father in heaven with whoever comes into contact with us. Well, the danger, Jesus says, the danger is, he says, don't put our light under a bowl. So he's saying, don't conceal the light. That's the danger. Don't conceal. And I think there are probably three ways that we can conceal our light at work. The first way is this. I think we can conceal the light physically. Let me explain what I mean with a quote from Nicky Gumbel, who's the vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton. He writes this. He says, Christians need to be salt and light in their work environments. That is why we should not give up working in a secular environment unless we are specifically called out of it. We are called to have an influence in the office, factory, police force, hospital, shop, or wherever it is that we're working. This is where frontline ministry takes place. So he's saying, don't conceal the light physically. Unless you are particularly called, don't leave the workplace and go do something ridiculous like I did and work for a church. He's saying the norm is to be in the workplace surrounded by many people who are not Christians. Now, I got an email from someone who, she's a final year student at Oxford. Just a couple of days ago, she sent me this email. She's a Christian. I've never met her before. She's thinking about what type of job to go into. And she was put in touch with me because she's thinking about whether to go into management consultancy or not. And she wrote this to me. She said this. She said, I'm finding it hard to justify working in something that seems so unrelated to God's purposes. I wonder if you feel that about your job. Unrelated to God's purposes. That's wrong. Jesus says to her, he says to you, he says, you are the light of the world. And you and her, she will find it much easier to be the light of the world if she's in the world, surrounded by people who aren't Christians, having an influence amongst them. Unless she feels that God particularly wants her to serve in a Christian organization, even management consultancy would be a perfectly reasonable job to do. It is very much related to God's purposes. In that job, that girl, she can be the light of the world. As Nicky Gumbel says, it's where frontline ministry takes place. A second way of concealing the light is we can conceal it morally. I wonder if you could just look at verse 16 again, just to try and understand what this light actually is. What is the light that Jesus is talking about? Look at verse 16. Jesus says, he says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. So first and foremost, this is not talking about speaking about Jesus. Now, this is about our good deeds. So I was talking the other day to a Christian who works in human resources for the NHS, the National Health Service. And she was telling me about a recent disciplinary case she had to be involved with. It was for a nurse who also happened to be a Christian. And this nurse, she was on the shift of work in her ward, and obviously she was supposed to be going around all the patients on the ward. But actually, suddenly this nurse, she disappeared. No one could find her for 2 hours. She was supposed to be going around the ward and meeting all the patients, helping them, but she disappeared. No one could find her for 2 hours until someone happened to open a cupboard and the nurse was in there, hiding in the cupboard, reading her Bible. Now, I think it is fair to say that that nurse would probably not have had a particularly positive influence for Christ amongst her colleagues when they discovered her skiving away from her work. You see, she was morally concealing the light. She was skiving off work. It is skiving off work. Even if you're going to read your Bible and you're supposed to be working, it's skiving off work. She was morally concealing the light. So physically concealing, morally concealing, and then thirdly, I think we can verbally conceal the light. So even if we are physically, we're interacting with our colleagues, we're spending time with them, even if we are acting, and all we do, we're acting in an upright, moral way that can still be concealing, because we're never actually upfront about our connection to Jesus at all. We never ever speak of Jesus with our colleagues, this person who in church we affirm to be the most important person in our life. Just look at verse 16 again, would you? And as you do, just answer this question to yourself. Which bit of verse 16 would not take place if you never ever spoke about Jesus? Which bit of verse 16 would not take place if you never ever spoke about Jesus? It says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You see, if we never speak about Jesus, then that last phrase, and praise your Father in heaven, it'll never happen, will it? Our colleagues, they won't know who to praise, so they'll just praise us. They'll just say how thoughtful, how calm, how kind we are. They won't praise God. And I think that should challenge some of us. Certainly challenges me as I think back to my time as a management consultant. If everybody at work just tells you what a nice person you are, you've got to question whether you're ever speaking about Jesus at all. If you were here last week, do you remember verse 11 at the end of the Beatitudes? Jesus says, verse 11, he says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So we do need to question things if our colleagues are always praising us rather than praising our Father in heaven. I thought I'd finish by reading an extract from a sermon of someone who did have a large influence, Martin Luther King, the civil rights leader. This was a sermon that Martin Luther King gave just 2 weeks before he was assassinated. Listen to his take on influence. This is what he says. Every now and then, I guess we will all think realistically about that day when we will be victimized with what is life's final common denominator. That's something we call death. And we all think about it. And every now and then I think about my own death and I think about my own funeral. And I don't think of it in a morbid sense. Every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I would want said? And I leave this word to you this morning. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he's travelling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring salvation to a world overwrought, if I can spread the message as the Master taught, then my living will not be in vain. We may never be a civil rights leader. We may never be a Nobel Peace Prize winner. But still at work with Martin Luther King, we can say the same as him. If I can bring salvation to a world overwrought, if I can spread the message as my Master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have given us such a big responsibility to be the salt of the earth at work, to be the light of the world at work. So this lunchtime, we pray for your help in this. We pray for each one of us that our living would not be in vain. We pray, as we sang at the start, we pray that you would be the God of all our Mondays and all our Tuesdays and our Wednesdays and our Thursdays and our Fridays. We pray this for your glory, so that we might have a big influence for you. Amen.